You ready?
Huh?
You ready?
No.
All right, guys. She's not ready. But anyways, welcome to Charlie's Bunker. All right? So, I'm going to record later on the second chapter of the book, The Lessons of History. But this segment, it's not about that. Today, I have a guest on the show, and it's Nelly Baby from Nelly Baby's World.
The one and only.
Now, just to give you a heads up, it took me a long time to spell her name, right? I'm dyslexic. I'm actually even wondering how I know how to read. But anyways, she's with me today, and we're about to talk regarding our experience with the COVID vaccine. Before that, how's it going?
Fine. Very stressful day, but I'm here. I'm breathing.
It's a good thing you said a very stressful day, and then you end up coming here to the show. I don't know if that's a good thing or that's a bad thing, because I don't know if I'm going to stress you out more or probably ease your tension, but we'll see how it goes.
It's you. My experience dealing with you.
With me, right.
That's all I have to say.
You know, it's my show. You're giving me a bad rep.
The people that listen to you already, well, from personal, probably already understand my suffering right now.
Really? Okay. You know, she sent me the notification like, hey, listen, a message like, hey, listen, I want to talk about my experience because I heard the segment on the COVID vaccine, and I want to be in the show because I want to talk about my experiences. I was not aware that I was going to get roasted in my own show. Maybe she could roast it in other shows, but not this show.
You should be used to it already.
I should be used to it, but it's my show. Like, it's literally my show.
How many times did it tell you? Nelly Baby's World.
Got it. Okay. Anyways, so welcome, guys. And again, if just to give them the credit they deserve, the banknotes, music in the background, awesome. Go check them out on Spotify. And go.
So what's your experience? Because I know mine.
I mean, yeah, well, no, that's the reason why we're here. We're talking about our experiences, and I know you know your experience, and I know my experience, but let's put that experience together.
Remember, this is your show.
Oh, you got to pull that out of me now?
I thought you were going to start it up, because, you know, you just pulled the Devo, you know, this is my show. You go roast me on my show?
I think this is going to be the show that's going to get the most likes and the most follow. Yeah, I think so. Anyways. Let's bring the music down for a little bit. Okay. So, we are today. Today, it's what? February 19th of 2021, right? So, it's been about more than a month and a half that we've done the COVID vaccine segment, which was pretty good. Even Mount Sinai Hospital actually posted on their social media. So, I was pretty proud of that with Dr. Glick, who, again, was my guest at that moment. And a month has passed, and actually, in the United States, 59 million people have already gotten the vaccine.
Yep.
1,863,000 in Illinois, okay? But people in the beginning were afraid of the vaccine. Now, we cover the reasons why they were afraid in the previous segment, just to remember, you know, the chip, that was the main one. Are they going to affect my DNA and change it, turn me into an alien, or I don't know, like a reptilian or something? Were they going to find me with the 5G hotspot and whatever? So we cover that.
Am I going to glow in the dark?
That was a good one. Actually, I heard about that one. Am I going to glow in the dark? I mean, if you happen to walk at night in a really dark neighborhood and you just happen to cross by, the good thing is that a car might see you and not hit you. I'm just saying that might be the case. But you were one, and I was one of the people who were afraid. I mean, obviously, I wasn't that afraid.
I wasn't afraid. You were afraid. Because knowing from those that don't know, Charlie El Bunker, or El Mero, as he likes to be called, has a phobia.
I do. I do have a phobia when it comes to needles. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I've gotten deep cuts. I mean, not to be graphic, but I've gotten, I had a cut in my leg one time. And I needed to go to the hospital to get stitches. Nah, that was for pansies, okay? What I did was I pour alcohol in an open wound for 2 weeks and I will take care of it. But I didn't go to the hospital to get stitches because I probably needed like 30 stitches, but I didn't go. So yeah, that's the phobia right there.
You sanitized it.
I did, of course. Come on, man. I mean, I know how to take care of my body. I know how to take care of wounds. It's not the first time I got a wound.
Like I said, you got like a third layer of skin, so.
Yeah, well, I cut all of them right there and then. So that's how much I will hate to go to the doctor and get stitches or shots or anything. So that was one of my big phobias, the actual shot itself. Forget the mitts. Forget the what it's called, the 5G, forget the chip, forget everything like that. I just didn't want the needle. I did it. So what was your phobia?
So how was, I didn't have, well, my phobia was, some of the side effects for the allergy issues with people or reactions was because they were either pre-diabetic, asthmatic, or like if they were overweight, that was an issue as well. Well, guess what? I'm a little on the healthy side, I'm starting in, but I'm probably pre-diabetic. My mom's a diabetic, so it's heredity. I can't even speak today, but it's in the genes.
It happens in Charlie's bunker.
It sticks. So, and to top it off, my mom had stroke. So, gosh darn it, I don't want no damn Bell's palsy. Shoot, I'm knowing my luck, I would be the one to literally fall out, become pulseless and unresponsive. Do you really think I'm going to trust people to do CPR on me?
I hope so. I mean, you are an instructor, so therefore you should know. But, I mean, if there's nobody around...
Is there three of me there to start doing CPR for me? No.
I thought you said that you could do it on your own.
I'm unresponsive. Breathing.
Hey, that's what you said. I didn't say it. You said it.
And then you told me you wouldn't even help me.
Well, that's a whole different story, okay? I'm not saying that wouldn't help her. It's just she said when I took the course in CPR, she said that I had the option of saying, I'm on break. I don't need to help you. That's what you said.
If it's outside of the workplace.
Yes.
We are in the workplace.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyways, so that was the fear, right? Oh, her fear is again, the vaccine and all the side effects. And no, not side effects, but the allergies.
Allergies, me probably getting Bell's palsy. This face here, this is a face maker, okay? It makes the money.
It's the money. And then he gets the power.
And then I get the women.
Then you get the women.
But guess what? I don't want Bell's palsy. I don't want Bell's palsy.
Can you imagine getting Bell's palsy and still getting the power?
And then watch me post it on Instagram. People don't want me to market their stuff with... half my face frozen?
Hey, if Rocky Balboa did it, why can't you?
No. Sorry.
Hey, shout out to Sylvester Stallone. Anyways, so yeah, that was one of the biggest fears. Obviously, the side effects with the vaccine and how they're going to change the DNA. But in the personal level, like in my case, I had the phobia of needles. I still have the phobia of needles. I don't even know how I did it. But to overcome that, you know, funny story is that I started cracking jokes with the students who were giving me the vaccine. My favorite joke was asking them if they did cocaine.
Why cocaine? I would have suggested heroin.
Because cocaine, anything that it's injected, all right? That's not the point. That was not exactly what I meant by, okay, you literally have to do specifically cocaine. No, anything that you could inject, okay?
Just commercial use, we do not.
We do not.
We do not induce, we do not promote any drug use. No a las drogas.
With the exception of CBD, that actually it's pretty good. And if you want some, there you go, there's a commercial. If you want some CBD, come give me a shout out so I can connect you to the right person who actually sells legally, okay? Legally. That's right there. Okay. So yeah, so your fear. No, you were also afraid of the side effects.
Well, that was my side effect. Hello, moneymaker, the face. I do not want Bell's palsy. But then I was told by a pharmacist that the one that actually is giving the Bell's palsy was the Moderna and not really the Pfizer. And I was given the Pfizer. So I was like, okay.
And you got the Pfizer?
Yes.
Okay, so did I. So that was good. I don't know. Before I did the research for the first segment, I did mention that in the first segment that I was kind of afraid of what reaction it would cause my body. Now, at that point, it was more of a decision whether to help my family and keep them safe, or my friends and people that are around me, or just straight up just get sick like the majority of people did, and just risk it to see if I was gonna pass away or just become immune. Again, it happened, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they didn't. But I made the decision going beyond the fear of the needles and going beyond the fear of the side effects, and I got it, okay? And I actually, if I remember correctly, I tried to convince you to get the vaccine.
Yeah, I just wanted to see who were the, you know, I was using the dummy issue where, like, let me get the first couple hundred of supposedly dummies to take the vaccine and see if there's any side effects. And then I'll say, okay, well, if they didn't, you know, have any issues, then I'll probably take it.
Okay, I don't know if you guys are following, but we didn't actually use dummies. She was just, that was her way of saying that she was doing her own experiment and seeing the results of how will people react to the vaccine, which it was a very good result. I know that you were working on one of the stations.
Yes.
And you saw some very positive numbers.
A lot of numbers. Okay. We had the first stage that when we got introduced to the vaccine, we had a lot of people coming in, mostly a lot of, you know, first responders that walked into the door that volunteered to actually take the vaccine. They were eager. They couldn't wait.
Well, yeah, I mean, now that was the first wave, right? The first responders, and her and I are first responders, so we were we saw it live from the epicenter of everything. We saw how it went down, and we were literally right there the whole entire year for 2020, and we were eager to get the vaccine too because we just want to get it over with. A lot of people that we saw that passed away, and it was sad, but we know that that's pretty much how the cookie crumbles when it comes to a pandemic.
Yeah.
And let's leave the politics aside, and let's leave the ideology aside. We knew that was something big. And I just couldn't wait because I really wanted to be safe for my friends and family.
Yeah. But like I told one of my coworkers, I think, because in the beginning, it was in November, December, I got really sick for like 3 straight months, like before even COVID even existed. So I think I probably got the first strain and I didn't even know it because I was sick for a while, like cough, issues breathing. But I recovered, but there's sometimes where I'm having issues, you know, breathing, having difficulty if I'm walking. So I kind of feel like I probably had like the early stage.
Do you think that could be an allergy?
Or allergy, but my son later on had been sick for like a good 3 months too. So I'm not saying I had it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
But you, I've been around people who've had it.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point because you were literally exposed to a lot of people who had it.
Yeah, I kind of was a provider for someone who actually was, who had COVID and beat it. And I kind of was like, I guess, an aide with wounds and taking care of this person. So I could tell you I was hands-on in.
In, yeah.
So I wouldn't doubt that I possibly carried it, maybe didn't. So I'm not saying I did.
So you're probably thinking you were asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting because that was one of the things also that you didn't know who had it. And there was a lot of people who literally did have it and they were wandering around left and right. And then the next thing was like, oh man, I'm positive. And we didn't even know, right?
Yeah.
So that was one of the big risks. So that's another reason why it was important for us to get the vaccine. And the doctors and the nurses and the techs, the respiratory techs who got the vaccine were, all of them were very excited about it. They were eager. They came in. They did their mm-hmm. part. But there were some who are like, let me wait and see what happens.
It was
a big number?
For respiratory therapists, they were the ones that needed to have it because they're, again, ones putting the central line in, the tubings in, opening up that respiratory issue and putting the mask. So they're the ones there, hands-on. I'm not saying everybody else isn't, but they were the ones that needed it, but not a lot of people wanted to take the vaccine. Respiratory issues. Like, the respiratory therapist didn't want to actually take it. I had ones that were really eager. Yeah, let me get it out of the way because, you know, I don't want to endanger my spouse, you know, my child, my grandchildren. But, yeah, there's issues there.
So then the first dose comes in. If I remember correctly, it was around the 20th of December,
mm-hmm.
right? I remember because... No, actually, it was
the
week before. The
the 18th.
Yeah.
Around there, the 16th around there.
Yeah.
That mid-December.
Yeah, the reason why I remember is because I said, I'm going to take the vaccine days before the Christmas vacation so I could have the time off and, you know, get the whole extra week before I, you know, with the symptoms, and I can get some extra days, which the first one for me, it didn't give me the symptoms. The only thing I had was just soreness of the arm, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience with the first shot. How about you?
Your soreness, from what I saw, I was like, with your fear of the needles, I was like, oh. And well, I was like, are you okay over there? I'm like, haven't even touched you yet.
Well, I mean, yeah. Listen, I don't know if you guys know, but there's some really big needles.
It wasn't that big.
To me, it was big. Okay. So that's why I said, no. Okay. So I'm going to be honest. I cried a little bit. I did cry a little bit.
There was a little tear.
I'm not going to lie. But that was my first experience. It was just the soreness of the arm. And whoever gave me the shot, which I don't know their name, I should have gotten the name so I can give them a shout out, did a pretty good job. I just felt the soreness, and that was it. Okay.
Oh my God. Was
that you also? Just the soreness on the first one?
Well, I recommended my person. I specifically pointed out, I'm like, I want you here in the auditorium. You are the only one to give me my vaccine.
So who gave you the shot?
When did that meet? Did I know?
You want to give him the name? Give him a shout? No, we're just recognizing people here right now.
We're not supposed to know or tell people their identities at work.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to dedicate this segment also to the heroes that are literally saving people's lives here.
She works for employee health, so I'm just.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. We're gonna admit this too.
I'm not really gonna.
I'm not gonna get fired. Podcasting is my full-time job.
Great customer service. She helped me out really light hand, so I didn't feel nothing. The after effect, because I know there's like they give you at least 15 minutes from after the vaccine. To see if there's any side effects, because right after they give it to you, you're automatically, if you do have any response from the vaccine, you're supposed to feel it at that moment. And it's not going to take you 15 minutes after. It's going to be exactly a couple seconds.
And that's one of the things that I also heard, because the vaccine, it's per million.
Mm-hmm.
11 cases were diagnosed with an allergic reaction to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that here, where the station you were working at, it wasn't right away.
No.
There were people who got it even eventually later on, right?
Yeah, I kind of was one of them. I waited for a couple seconds. Maybe it was just my anxiety, but I was having issues like with my heart rate. It was going really, really fast. And then I felt like I couldn't breathe that well, but I didn't become unresponsive. I felt a little lightheaded when I stood up, but that was basically it. I got the allergic reaction maybe 2 days after.
Uh-huh.
So I was a little tired, sluggish.
Because that's one of the things I heard too, that there were people who lasted 1, 2, up to 3 days with the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
My again, for me, on the first shot, it was just soreness of the arm, and that was it. And mm-hmm. the next day I was like, yay, you know, throwing punches again because I, you know, boxing and whatnot. So that was cool for me. And I thought that my immune system was pretty dope because I was able to withstand it. But then I learned that that's just not the way it works, because the second one is the one that hit you the most.
Mm-mm. Well, the first one hit me worse.
The first one hit you worse?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because
I had 2 days of energy. And then the rest of the week, you don't want to hear the personal issues.
I mean, that's what we're here. I'm just kidding.
I had an upset stomach. Just take it from there.
Okay. You guys do the... I'll leave it to your imagination. But the second one for me is the one that hit me the most. Now, I got the second one by January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That's around the time, because I came back from vacation. So at that moment, I decided to get the second one. Now, the second one really hit me hard. That one is the one that knocked me out. Not because I didn't get the fever, I mm-hmm. didn't get the shortness of breath, I didn't get any of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I did get the body soreness. Now, just to give you an idea of how bad it was, I was literally, every time I got up, mm-hmm. I was doing the robot, because I was just like trying to move, but I was so stiff, I couldn't move. And I don't know if I had a fever, because there are moments where I feel extremely hot and then I feel very cold and then very hot. And you know, I didn't take the temperature because I didn't have a thermometer, but I really felt the soreness for a day. It was just one day. And I remember when with Dr. Glick, she said that the second one is the worst because your immune system, if it's robust, you're going to feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a double-edged sword for me because if I didn't feel it that bad, but I still felt symptoms, that means I'm getting older. I'm getting old and my immune system is already getting weaker. So that was a little, I'm getting old. A little sour, you know.
Old.
Yeah, that was a very hard pill to swallow. But in the second one, how about you? What happened?
The second one, I really didn't. Again, 2 days of energy. And then I guess it was 2 days later. I didn't really feel fatigue, no body sores. The thing I did feel was flushed. Really flushed. I would have moments where like hot flashes. And like my whole face, like I have pictures where my face literally got red.
You look red.
And like I look like my whole cheeks were swollen, like red. Like I had hot flashes, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And my girl's like, my friend, she's like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, your face automatically just turned flushed.
Did you say ears? Ma'am, are you okay? Ma'am, are you okay?
Ma'am, are you okay? Like I tell my son every time, I'm like, he's like, oh, are you sleeping? Sir, are you okay? Are you okay? Can you hear me?
That's like the line to go when you're taking CPR courses. That's the it's a little bit annoying, but hey, you know the deal.
Tap and shout. Are you okay?
Yeah. Jesus. Anyways, so the side effects were, in my experiences, were not as bad as I thought they were going to be. I thought I was going to get the fever. I thought I was going to be worse than that. It sounds like in your case, it was days, more days. Mine was only one.
Well, it wasn't a lot of days. It was like maybe 2 days of feeling flushed, and then I was fine after that.
But you've heard other people that had it that had the same experience. You want to talk about that too. You want to talk about other people's experiences of what you've heard, if you've seen of people that took the vaccine.
I've seen a person become very flushed, just like I did, but they had an allergic reaction to a point where their whole body started getting blotchy.
Oh.
And they didn't know until the person's like, "You're breaking out."
Was that a question? Did they ask her a question?
Are you okay, sir? And they checked his vitals, and it was kind of up there. So they rushed him to the ED.
Oh wow! And again, we just want to bring the numbers back because it's only 11 cases per million, so it's very rare. Just to give an idea, if you get a colonoscopy done, I mean, they can perforate the intestine, and that's only 1 in 1,500. Mm-hmm. So getting an allergic reaction from the vaccine out of a million, that's very rare. But it does happen, and that's one of the things that the CDC said, that you could experience that. I hope it wasn't lethal.
Yeah.
I just hope. I don't know.
From my experience, I was told, and I did take Tylenol or some form of aspirin. Maybe a couple hours before you take the vaccine to worsen any side effects or any pain, body ache, just in case something did occur.
So is that what you would recommend? That's what you saw?
Yeah.
That people, because I don't know, they did mention, I think somebody did tell me to take something like a Tylenol or ibuprofen before the vaccine, so you wouldn't
feel it as bad.
Feel as bad.
Mm-hmm.
So other people said that it was better not to before the vaccine. It was after the vaccine so you can get the full effect.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you got an allergic reaction, it wouldn't contradict with the information. Let's say, for example, if you take a Tylenol, you've never allergic to Tylenol, the next thing you know, out of the miracle of life, you happen to get an allergic reaction to Tylenol. Mm-hmm. They don't want it associated with the vaccine. So I can't say anything on that because both sides could be true. I mean, there are some people that might develop allergies to any other medication prior to the vaccine. And the next thing you know, they're blaming the vaccine because it did happen. There was a case of a doctor who did pass away and they were investigating whether it was the vaccine or another disease that he had before the vaccine that just happened to, you know, kill him at the moment of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Yeah. I would rather, what would you rather do? Take the vaccine or accidentally cause somebody to get sick and possibly pass?
I didn't understand the question.
Like, I'd rather take the vaccine and then later on, instead of, hey, I'm not going to take the vaccine, I'm probably asymptomatic, walking around the halls, and then all of a sudden, God forbid, I go visit a family member, and guess what? 2 days later, my family member gets diagnosed with COVID and passes. I really don't want to go through that. I'd rather just take the vaccine just for my safety and my, you know, my loved one's safety.
Yeah, no, and at this point in the game, they're already opening up to the general, from my understanding.
Yeah.
They're already bringing people who are 60 and over, and now the essential workers.
Essential workers, fast foods, restaurants, anything that has to deal with the public.
But, yeah, and I guess this is the reason why we're making this segment, because we want to let you know the facts with Dr. Glick that explained to us on the first segment, which is the COVID, let's talk vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to give you guys our experiences, because a lot of people, like, you know, my friend here, decided to wait to see how the masses will react to the vaccine. And here are two people that actually did take the vaccine, and we turned out to be okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the mental issues that I have was prior to the vaccine, so we can't blame that on that.
No, we can't.
I mean, maybe.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to get some extra cash.
No. Hey, whatever happened.
Whatever happens, right?
In your childhood, somebody accidentally dropped you in your head. That's their issue.
Shut up, man. It did happen. Love you, Mom.
We're not going to involve Mama Mario. We're going to cut that out.
Jesus. Anyways. So, we just want to bring, you know, this little segment and just talk about it. Anything else you would like to add? I don't have anything else.
Well, if you're interested in signing up for a vaccine, please make sure to look at, for my people that have Facebook, you can find it. I guess there's a registration form on Sinai on Facebook. You can find it on there. There's a link there, highlighted, hyperlink, that you could go in there, have your family member sign you up. I think UIC also has a page. And what is it? Rush. Call your local hospitals anywhere near you to see. And I think Walgreens as well is now starting to carry the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. One question that I do have for you, and it might be going a little bit over, but any changes in guidelines from the Red Cross or the American Heart Association when it comes to CPR? I know we were having a conversation about how the you know, the Red Cross and the American Heart Association, they're like the Bloods and the Crips.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Bloods and the Crips. Before they come after me.
Yeah.
But any changes in regulations?
At the moment, that's still up in the air. I did talk to one of the workers from, or shall I say the sponsors or whatever you want to call it, workers from American Heart Association, that did say that there's data coming out pretty soon, but nothing really has changed. We know that if you're a provider, we're still going to do hands-only CPR. If you are kind of fearful of doing mouth-to-mouth, we don't really recommend it. Okay.
So for those who don't know, what is hands-on CPR?
Well, you're going to do chest compressions,
mm-hmm.
30 compressions. And instead of giving those two breaths after those compressions, you're not going to give breaths. You're just going to do your 30 compressions, and you're doing that for 5 times.
So how effective is that? I mean, you need the oxygen, but I don't know how that would work. That still seems a little.
You want to remember when a person, if it's cardiac, if a person has a cardiac arrest, the last thing they probably did was clutch their chest, taking their last breath, and just become unresponsive.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is activate your emergency medical system, which is basically going to be 911. Okay.
For the general public.
Yeah, general public 911. Don't take your loved one in back of the car and drive them to the nearest hospital. No, you got to follow protocol. Call 911 and start from there. Talk to the operator. The operator is going to tell you start compressions. Do your 30 compressions, count out loud. And then after that, you're not going to give breaths. That's called hands-only CPR. So got all it. You have to do is call 911, start compressions, don't give mouth-to-mouth.
So the mouth guards, will that protect them? Or can you use the mask as a mouth guard?
You could use a mask, a face shield, any form of barrier device.
But it's not guaranteed that you will not get exposed.
You're going to probably get exposed.
So no, don't do it. Okay. I'm asking the question because I know probably you're thinking like, hey, listen, what if I use the mask? Well, no, let's avoid the whole exposure. But you do need to resuscitate someone if in case they do need CPR. Well, anyways, anything else we'd like to add?
If you're able to get the vaccine, I'm not going to pressure anybody to get it, but please do. If you do, just think about it. I get a lot of, I don't know, but I'd rather get it than endanger my child or a loved one.
Yeah, and like we covered, this is, for us, it's something new. We didn't get a lot of media exposure when it happened in 2003 and 2012. Obviously, those cases were also severe, and it was an epidemic at the areas in China and Saudi Arabia or the Middle East. But it didn't hit home, so therefore I don't want to say we didn't care, but we didn't hear about it. So now that it pretty much hit all of us. Now we are concerned, and now we are doing something about it. But it's something relatively that has happened a couple of times before. We did cover that. And that leaves me a little bit of an ease because at least the scientists already know what they're dealing with. Yes, this type, this strain, it might be new, but at least they know what to expect when it comes to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And obviously in 2021, it seems like they're getting better. Yeah. We're not as you know.
Our numbers are improving since we've started getting vaccinated. Yep. Our numbers are improving. I haven't seen like, oh my God, so much numbers, because the first couple of weeks, the numbers were really bad.
Really bad. Yeah, they were really, really bad. Really bad. They were really bad. But now 59 million people administered with the vaccine in the United States, and almost 2 million here in Illinois. Those are pretty good numbers. I actually thought they were going to be less.
Yeah.
Because of all the fears and the myth and whatnot. But they're responding good.
Yeah.
Everybody's, yeah, yeah.
Those that are able to wear N95s, continue wearing your N95s. There's proven facts that double masking kind of helps as well. If you have kind of like cheap little masks, at least you're covering your mouth.
Well, that's true.
And protecting yourself. But there's proven fact now that double masking kind of does help as well. So if you want to double mask, please do. Also continue doing 6 feet social distancing, because these stores are crazy. People are literally like are breathing behind your neck when you should know. Be That's 6 feet apart. There's moments where I want to turn around and say, do you not know there's COVID? Really?
They're going to say no.
Let me cough on your face and then I'll let you know.
I don't know if I want to be that person, to be honest
but
with you.
But no, it's remember, guys, let's practice social distancing. We got to protect ourselves as well as others. Again, I know we all miss our family members. I miss my brother. You know, I miss my aunt. But we got to be careful and continue to do social distancing. No parties, guys. You'd be surprised how many times I see people in Snapchat and Facebook having parties, going bowling, you know. Guys, come on. Stop. Yeah. It's not clubbing time. It's COVID.
See, and again, in the segment of hesitations when it comes to the history and how people behave, again, this is not the first time that we've gone through this. And yet we behave like it's the first time. And based on what we've learned, we know that a disease like this, or any type of disease that can become a epidemic or a pandemic, could be a serious issue. And yet we just tend to repeat the same mistake. So, yeah, let's get this one done. All right. Oh, and there's obviously I was gonna ask Dr. Glick to see if she can come back and explain about the other three strains. I don't want to touch that subject because again, we're not the experts in this one. But that is another thing that I want to talk about. But anyways, I'm about to close.
And yep.
Let me know if you want her back, because I think we had fun. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I like it.
You cool, whatever.
A cool whatever?
You cool.
All right, all right. All right, guys. So, remember, You can follow me on Facebook under El Bunker del Mero, and I will love to spell it, but I'm a horrible speller, and it's gonna take me about 30 more minutes just to spell it. But not only you can follow me, you can also follow here my friend Nelly Baby. All right, and you want to give them your social media so they can follow you.
So you'll find me Nelly Baby, Nelly Baby's World on YouTube. I have my channel there. I go through everything that you need to know about vlogs, life, parenting, as well as CPR. If you have any CPR requests, let me know. I'll be more than gladly to film it. I have one for infant right now for all my moms. So if you're looking out, you can find me on Instagram, Nelly Baby, and that's basically it. And Twitter.
And Twitter.
Nelly's Baby's World.
Awesome. All right, guys. So until next time, it was great having you here. It was great having you guys listening to us. I'm going to make another segment where you can be here with me. I'm thinking, this is the future plan. Lord. This is the future plan.
You hear the little monkey going.
I'm thinking, to actually have a co-host for the show. Because I love dissecting books. I love analyzing
you
them.
You just like people roasting you, don't you?
But, yes. It's one of the traumas, right? This is what happens when you grow up in the 80s and the 90s and you don't consider bullying. Just consider having fun with the friends, all right?
Okay, or just living, an FYI.
Or living with a Mexican family. That's pretty much it.
That's basically it. You got to learn to live with a tough skin. If not, just going to be a pansy, man.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to see. I'm taking solicitations to see if anybody wants to join me for a co-host. So if you guys are interested, why not? You wanted to do podcasting and you want it to be fun, but you don't want to do anything of the editing and whatnot, let me know. But I would love to have you here.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing it. If you're doing all the work, why not?
I mean, don't I always?
You want to be the sucker? Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think I might have to start writing a contract. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's
Stay
been
safe,
a pleasure.
Guys.
And until next time.
Bye.